Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Science and Beyond. My name is Joe Mattel. I hope everyone's having a great evening, great morning, or a great afternoon, wherever you are on our big, beautiful blue planet. And, you know, there's lots of things to learn here. There's lots of things to see out there. I have two great guests on us tonight, Emily and John Goodwin. They are great friends of mine, and I always enjoy having them on. They got a lot of stuff going on, and we're going to talk about all that. I mean, they've been wickedly busy all over the place. John's going to look like 5 ounces by the time Emily gets through with him. I mean, get the moving there, boy. Come on. It's going to be crazy, but... John, Emily, how y'all doing tonight? Y'all staying
good?
Busy,
huh? Great, yeah. I'm glad to be back with you again here on the show.
So do y'all get like vacations when this is over or something? You know, a trip to the Bahamas, maybe a trip to Hawaii. I mean, y'all pretty close to Hawaii, so.
There's an event or convention there, yeah.
So it's a work. You see, y'all do vacation like I do, a working vacation. Those get me in trouble.
Exactly. We had a lot of fun. We were in Atlanta and in Salt Lake City. We took advantage of it to combine. Obviously, there's a lot of work at the conventions, but it was great also just seeing some of the sites there in Atlanta, which we've been several times before. Mm-hmm. Although some of our favorite places had shut down from COVID, but it was really good being be able to go back there again. And then Salt Lake City, which is one of our favorite places to go because there's so many people that love to read, and we're book publishers, so that made it awesome.
Yes. It's always nice when you go to kind of conferences that everybody's kind of agreeable at. I like them better. You know, when I attend different conferences, because it's a lot of conferences I go to that are a lot of fun, and I have a lot of times lecture in there. It's a lot of fun. But when I do political ones, you always know it's somewhere along the line it's going to be bad. Somebody's going to get upset. But I noticed, like, when we go out to different places, we were promoting a group of books about 3 years ago, and everybody was very receptive, very nice, very happy. You know, because most bookworms are sane people. Not all of them, mind you, but most of them. I mean, 98% of them are. You know, somebody once told me about, you know, people who read all the time are harmless. I said, well, there's been a couple of mass murderers. We won't mention that, but there's been a couple. But other than that, I agree with that most of the time, because if you can find time to read and relax, you know, for me, it's like I actually have to stop myself. Find a place to sit down, hide out somewhere, grab the book and read. Because I don't, either my phone's going to call. Just before I got on the show, I get a phone call from one of my customers and one of my friends. Oh, can you come see me tomorrow? I said, well, yeah, you know, it's a customer. I'm going to go see him. My friend said, well, maybe Sunday. Meanwhile, I'm still shopping for the stuff. It's like, I just need a place to hide out. I'll usually turn the phone off, or I'll turn it off where I can't hear it ring or buzz. Set it down and hide it somewhere. Go hide out. I say I can go outside. What's nice about living here is I can actually go outside, sit on the dock, and read. And it's quiet. It's peaceful. The wind's blowing. As long as it's not summertime, it's very beautiful out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, summertime, you're not going out there. But other than that, and you don't want to be out there at dusk either, but other than that, it's a great place to hang out. So we're down to 6 days now for the last entries, right?
That's right.
6 days.
Exactly. So that's the big thing that we're very excited to talk to everybody about tonight is, for all the aspiring writers and artists, we have the L. Ron Hubbard Writers and Illustrators of the Future competitions, which we're now ready to end year 38 on September 30th at midnight Pacific time. And we want everybody to get their submissions in. It's free to enter, and it's open to anyone who's not been professionally published. The exact rules are on at writersofthefuture.com. But it's been going on, like I said, for 38 years now. And it's launched so many careers. We've had over 700 winners over the 37 years of recognitions, that we really want to make sure that the word gets out there that it's available for any aspiring writer or any aspiring artist to take advantage of this. It's science fiction, fantasy, alternate history, dark fantasy. And it's one of those things that if you yourself are an aspiring writer or artist, or you know someone who is, it's an opportunity for them to be able to, now, here we go on the page here, but going to riseoffeature.com, you can enter the writer contest, enter the illustrator contest. It's free. And Emily,
you also keep the rights to your story or artwork. So if you submit it to Writers of the Future, you still own it, and you can still submit it elsewhere. You can still publish it elsewhere. It belongs to you. So that's one good thing about it too.
It's like I said, it's free to enter, but talk about the judging being blind as well.
Yeah. So when you send your stories in, blind judging basically means that the judges do not know who is entering the story, because the story comes in, or the artwork, the name gets taken off and it gets assigned a number, and that's what then goes to the judges. So there's no possible cheating or anything like that, because the judge does not know who is submitting that story. So if it's one of their friends, they won't know. And that just makes it a fair level playing field for everybody. And it gives everybody the same opportunity. And if some people are nervous to submit their story, it's kind of comforting to know that nobody will know it's you. So it's you can just go ahead and submit it.
Mine are going to smell like chocolate chip cookies freshly baked. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cheat, people.
Some people do that.
The story wasn't good, but it smells so good.
Yeah, some people do that to other editors. They'll send a story and they'll put like cookies or a pie or something like that in there. And
I was at a panel in Dragon Con with a bunch of editors from Penguin and Simon Schuster and Hachette. And they were like, you know, the worst thing they said you could do to them was send chocolate and stuff. Because half the time it comes melted, all over the story. And they're like, just go and straighten the trash. Just straighten the trash. We don't want it. But if you want to send cookies to me, I'll put the address up on the site afterwards because I love cookies. Well,
I hear now that the weather's getting cool, you might get a gift package. I was talking to a fellow Canadian of yours.
We got an email. It's still arriving.
Last time she sent me candy, I'm not kidding. It was like in a box like this. I said, I will kill you if you send me that much candy because, you know, I will eat it all eventually. I'm like, no, we can't do that.
I already miss Canada. I don't know, Amelia.
Y'all's chocolate is better. I know I should
have it is.
This, but it's people, I'm telling you, I didn't believe when Amelia's a co-host of one of the shows in Network, Amelia Pisano, but she said, no, I'm telling you, our chocolate's different. Even though some of the candy bars were the same, it actually tasted different. I'm like, this is BS, man. I said, this is just wrong. I said, and it's weird because y'all got some exact same candy bars, a better flavor, but a different name for them. I was like, okay, it was a little confusing there for a little while, but God, she sent me a lot of chocolate.
And well, you know, I think in Canada, they use real sugar instead of the high fructose corn syrup stuff. So it makes it taste better.
Getting back to what we're talking about, you don't have to worry about sending that for entering the contest. You can, the thing about it is that it's online entries for both the ride. You can submit your story online or your art online. So wherever you are in the world, you can submit. And we have entries from over 175 countries. So it's not restricted by anybody. And you have like people from 100 different countries listening to the show right now. Wherever you are, you can submit. It is English for the stories, but because illustration isn't language-based, you can submit forever. And we have winners from all over the world, even if English isn't the primary language there, because it's illustration. And you can see in the books where we have winners from Vietnam, from Iran, from other countries, foreign countries, brilliant art. And you can see that it's not like what you normally see in American publications, but it's just beautiful art. So you can be wherever you are, and you're not judged by it has to be a certain style of art in order to win. It can be whatever your national, like if you have certain types of styles from your country, you can totally use that. It's just got to be really high creative, original, and it's got to be illustration.
It has to tell the ones that usually win on the illustrations are the ones that tell a story. So that was one of the things that one of the judges was saying, was that, you know, if there's like a toss up between two that will make it to finalists, she'll pick the one that tells a story over the one with you know, the technical. Really nice, yeah, that's a pretty picture. So that's just something to keep in mind, too.
Yeah, but most of those pictures do tell a story. I'm sorry, Jack.
That's what the illustration's all about.
That's the thing. When you win the illustrator contest, so you have 12 winners for the illustrator contest. There's 12 winners for the writer contest. And the illustrators actually get hired to illustrate one of the winning stories in the book. And that's what gets published in the book. So out of all the 12 stories in the book, there's a piece of art that goes with each of the stories, which is really cool. And I mean, you just get the most amazing pieces, and you can actually flip through these full color like posters at the front of the book and get an idea of what the stories are like just from seeing the art in the book, because it's an illustration telling the story about the art, about the stories in the book.
You know, it's one of the reasons on that audiobook, it's one of the reasons I like that art from L. Ron Hubbard. You can actually, on most of them, you can look at the picture and actually get the gist of the story by looking at the photo or looking at the art.
Yeah.
And, but you know, it's interesting. And some people have a knack for that. Some people can tell a story like that, and some people can't. So, and you're right. Some people can really make a gorgeous picture. It's kind of like a movie I seen just recently. The dragons were beautiful and great, and the story was So you could concentrate on a dragon. So at least there was something to look at. But you know, some people have really good talent. I remember, what was that little thing they used to put in the magazines that if you could draw the picture, you could send it in and, I can't remember the name of it now, and become like a commercial artist or something. Hmm. Yes. Yeah. My art, my best artist.
One thing that Emily found and sent to me, which is, I think it's pretty cool. It's a definition between art and illustration. So this was, what is the difference between an illustrator and an artist? The biggest difference between illustrator and artist is the purpose of the work. Illustrators create images to help promote a function or a product. Artists create art to express emotions. In other words, an illustration is a visual explanation of the text, almost always comes with context. So it's pretty good. But the main thing is it evokes a story. You can get a story out of an image if it's an illustration. If it's art, it's really beautiful, you know, like someone's a portrait or a seascape, or here's, you know, fruit in a bowl, or here's the landscape type stuff. It can be very beautiful, but it isn't telling a story.
Yes, and I understand it needs to tell a story. I mean, it's a great way of doing art. And well, you know, it was a friend of mine who used to make these little books that you could flash and you could tell it, but there was no audio involved. It was just, they were little tiny books about like this, and you could just flash through them. It was like a moving picture.
Oh, yeah.
And it did really well. And you could get the gist of the story out by watching it. It was a very interesting concept, considering there was no audio at all involved. So it does make a difference. And there are some talented artists out there.
There are some, for sure, too.
Some of the ones I see make it to the top, though, I'm kind of thinking, did you just laser print that? That really doesn't look like it was hand-drawn. Like, yeah. So I'm a little skeptical sometimes. But that's another thing. Are they allowed to use equipment like that? Because these days, they got these serious printers that you can go on your computer and do the parameters, and it'll print it out, and it looks fantastic. You can't really tell that it's been printed, so I'm wondering about things like that in the future.
Well, we do allow various mediums. Like, you know, we have people that submit watercolor, and we have people that submit, you know, painting digital. So we accept all forms of illustration, but we do check for plagiarism. So, you know, someone can't just take somebody else's art and add a little bit to it and then say, here's my art piece. That Google will be found.
Yeah, Google's got a great app that you can check it. And it's pretty good.
Well, and on the stories, I mean.
Well, as I said, I know y'all don't allow for professional writers to get involved and try to win, or not necessarily professional, but I guess if they reach a certain point financially, well, money-wise.
That's right.
Because a friend of mine asked me the other day, he said, oh, you think I can? I said, I don't know, dude. I said, you made like $1.8 million off your last book. I said, I don't think they're going to let you submit. Oh, man, I'm a great storyteller. I don't think they're going to let you.
I think he's a little overqualified. But
I didn't say that. Well,
okay. Well, he must have had something going if he made that much money off of his book.
It was an interesting book.
Okay. Well, good.
I'm not even going to plug. By the way, Ross, if you're listening, I'm plugging your books up.
So the reason why we have it be for amateurs is because there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of aspiring authors and so forth, and they don't actually have a chance for their, you know, creative efforts to be seen and heard because, you know, they live in some small town or village somewhere and, you know, they don't have the same connections and networking opportunities that like someone who might live in LA or New York or one of these bigger book areas. So we allow people from all over the world. You have access to the internet, you can enter the contest. And it's something that's the way L. Ron Hubbard, when he set up the contest, he did it that way. So he could give a helping hand to those who didn't otherwise have a voice, that didn't have a way to get their work seen. And so this is a way that anybody can get their work seen. And we didn't want to have them, or L. Ron Hubbard didn't want to have them competing against the professionals because it doesn't give them the chance.
So they get
judged by the professionals. So all top best-selling authors are the ones who judge the contest, and they go through and they decide who is going to be the next hot talent. And it's been very successful. We've had 36 New York Times bestsellers from winners of the contest. So it's been, you know, we have launched careers for a lot, you know. And on the artist side, I mean, one of our illustrator winners went on to win an Academy Award for a short film he made. And
I'm thinking we need to reevaluate this, and y'all need to take 10%. I'm just saying, that's why they don't put me in charge of this kind of stuff. I'd be like, well, you know, if you make it famous, because you yeah, we need at least 10% here. Anyway, I'm sorry, I was just bad on my part, but
yeah, it's just the main thing on it, and why we really like to promote this broadly. Some people think, well, it's too good to be true. Maybe it is, but it is true nevertheless. And it was intentionally set up by Mr. Hubbard. I mean, he made an amazing career for himself as a writer. He was incredibly popular in the 30s and 40s when he came out with Battlefield Earth in 82. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for 8 weeks. And so he decided, okay, what am I going to do now? Now that, you know, he basically had left the arena of science fiction and fantasy in 1950 when he wrote Dianetics. And so to celebrate 50 years as an author, he wrote Battlefield Earth. And so when that made the like I said, the big bestseller list, he decided, okay, let's do something for what, like what he'd done before in the 30s and 40s. He always had spent quite some time helping the aspiring writers. So he launched this contest. He got one of his fellow writers, Algis Budras, to act as the original coordinating judge, who pulled in a bunch of other authors who had worked with Elwyn Hubbard during that time period of the Pulp Fiction days. And they were the original judges, like Frank Herbert, whose book Dune is another version of it coming out now, you know, this next weekend or a couple weekends from now.
And please don't mess it up. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, I hope they won't, but it's but those are the types of authors that are doing it, you know. And so we carried on with that, with those, that level and that caliber of authors. So it's basically your favorite authors who are picking the next best writers for the genre. And so they're making sure that the future is good for them too. Cause like what Orson Scott Card said, the guy who wrote Ender's Game, I want to have good stuff. I like reading good stuff. So that's why I want to make sure that we pick the best of the best. So this guarantees my good stuff to read in the future. And so that's like I'm saying, we've got a lot of New York Times bestselling authors who came from the contest.
So translation people, pay attention, go over to galaxypress.com, buy the last five editions, and you got an idea where the stories in the future may be coming from in both TV and movies. I've been through three volumes now, and there's a lot of good stuff in it. And you actually, if you pay attention while you're reading through, you'll get a glimpse of seeing things you've seen recently. Matter of fact, I can't remember which volume in it was it in, but I was reading this story and it felt an awful like Altered Carbon. Which was on Netflix. It was a pretty good movie, but they said it was too costly, or not a movie, but a series. It really had some pretty strong. I actually hadn't time to go, but I'm going to go look and see if it's the same people, because I still got the book, that the original book, and I got actually circled it because it just had this feeling. But regardless if it is and it isn't, the writer was real close to what was going on now, at least with this one. So I love this. Oh, speaking of that, when was it about? I meant to tell you this Wednesday and forgot. I was speaking at a library. It was about a crowd of 500, 600 people, and we were talking about sci-fi books. So I was invited to speak. I had about an hour and 45 minutes. I think I did like 35 minutes of Q&A. So at the end, we're talking, and they said, well, who do you recommend? So you know your guys came up. So there was a lot of young, aspiring people who were there wanting to write and were asking questions. There were several authors there. And I was like, and I know all the authors looked at me and said, I said, well, you know, you should submit to Writers of the Future. It doesn't hurt. It's free. And one lady said, well, isn't that Ron Helms group? Do I have to join Scientology? And I started laughing. I said, no, you do not. And I said, before anybody asks, I said, it's absolutely free. It doesn't cost anything. And it's blind judged. Well, then immediately three of the authors there asked me, what do you mean it's blind judged? I was like, it's blind judged. I said, it goes to some fairly famous writers. I said, they go over, they look at it. I said, they don't know who the story comes from. I said, it's handed to them. It's just a story. Nobody's name on it, nothing else, no chocolate fudge rubbed on it or anything, just handed to them. And I said, so then they read it and then they decide where it goes, if it's going to get there, it's going to make this pile, if it's going to make this, or it's just going to be thank you, try again next year. He's like, no, there's got to be a catch. I said, there's not a catch. And I said, I get this a lot. And I do get this a lot when I talk about y'all. There's always a catch. And people always ask me, especially people who've been listening to me a long time, why I recommend y'all. And it's always the same answers. But, you know, so I'm speaking, you can tell it's a very well-educated crowd we're talking to. They're not a bunch of bums. They're well-read individuals. And we're just talking, and I said, well, I'm going to tell you this. I said, I've been working with John Emily for a few years now. I said, they have never done anything. I said, they've never told me anything that I didn't find out later on was absolutely true. And the lady laughed. She said, well, the way you said it, I thought, I said, yeah, I bet you did. I said, but it's true. Mm-hmm. I said, I gave John for like the first 2 years nonstop. I said, yeah. Well, I said, so you win, you got to give me some money so you can get your winner. And John's like, no, it's free. I said, I gave him a lot of trouble about this. I said, but you knew. I said, because I know a lot of these people are going to be potential writers in the future. And I said, look, I said, trust me on this. I would not recommend. I said, y'all know how I am. I don't recommend hardly anybody. I said, I'm telling you, join this. It's free. And I said, and if you're feeling nervous and all, I said, they've got a really nice website where you can go over there and take a course and maybe polish it off before you send it. And it was really very interesting. So next thing I know, I'm talking, Bruce Beebe brings y'all up on the big screen behind me. He's scrolling through the site and he's reading and talking while I'm talking. And he's like, he said, they don't want anything. I said, no, they want your story. And then that's right at the end when I was getting ready to get off the stage. I said, and wait, you get to keep all rights. And the three ladies in the front row who were writing, just nonstop writing while I was talking, she said, no, that can't be true. We're submitting it to them. I said, no, it's your intellectual property. She said, no. I said, no, I'm telling you. And I said, you don't have to take my word for it. I actually told them, come tune in on Wednesday or Friday. I said, look, just come listen.
Look at the rules. It's on the rules. It says that you maintain your rights.
Yeah. It's just, you know, people, because it's kind of like the COVID thing when you see something on Facebook versus the real news. people get these crazy ideas in their head about stuff. And I'm like, no. So, you know, when I got a lecture coming up in at Tulane University on science, and I'm going to bring this up at there too, because I've noticed wherever I'm lecturing, for the most part, there's always potential writers or readers.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's both. You want to read, you want to write. And, you know, now that I've been doing this for a long time, I'm actually the older guy now. So anyway, so I'm getting this little mentor. Well, some, you know, I want them to go out and enjoy things, read it, enjoy it, and start wherever you want. I said, and I was telling them, I said, look, I said, I'm recommending these books. I said, because I've been listening to these audio tapes and these books, they're great. I said, if it's something not for you, there is a plethora of books and audio. I said, get out there and get, I said, stop playing video games, stop watching television, and use your imagination for a chance. And I'm telling you to give up your video games for life. I'm saying just, you know, maybe take a day or two out of the week and use your real imagination instead of the one that's you're, you know, paying for on Netflix. Oh, sorry, Netflix. I didn't mean to plug you like that. But still, you know, it's the truth. And I know I can be hard about it sometimes. But, you know, if somebody's not, these kids are just going to go on playing video and never know what a book is.
Yeah.
And I see that's another thing I like that y'all do, the way y'all slip books into the community and get people involved that way. Because that's a good way. Just giving blood, giving out books. You know, so these are people who may not normally read something. They're going to go home and read this book. Well, they're going to give it to somebody else in their family who's going to read this book.
Yeah,
you lose out on stuff like that. It's just a better way. And right now we're, you know, when I was growing up as a kid, 65, maybe 70% of everybody I knew read frequently. Today, I'd say about 25% of the people I know read frequently. There's still some that read, they're just, most of the time when the answer I get, oh, I just don't have the time. I said, did you have time to go to Starbucks? Well, yeah. I said, well, you could have read that right there at Starbucks while you're waiting on it. You could have read a damn 2 pages or a paragraph or whatever. I said, read. I'm telling you, you're missing out. Because a lot of these people have great imaginations. And it's not just them that's missing out. That it's us that are missing out. We never know who the next potential great artist is going to be that might just decide to go eat Starbucks and not ever write or read. You know, but anyway.
Well, you know, one thing that we do get from it, Joe, is, you know, we publish books, and every year we publish the anthology, and we pay pro rates for the new stories from the authors. But the actual anthology itself is one of the best selling science fiction fantasy anthologies out there. So, you know, we get all these winners every year. They get paid for it, but we also sell a lot of books.
Yeah. But the whole thing, too, that people need to understand is when it was first created, it was entirely funded by Mr. Hubbard of his royalties. He still remains one of the best-selling authors, even having passed in 1986. You know, he still remains one of the best-selling authors out there. And so he pays for any fees with respect to the judging. He pays for when the 12 winners are flown out, writer winners and 12 illustrator winners are flown out each year to Hollywood for a week-long workshop. This year we're staying at the Roosevelt Hotel. That's all funded by Mr. Hubbard's estate. The big gala banquet that you're going to be coming out for, that's all funded by his estate. So it's really to put that future there and for science fiction and fantasy, which was the last genre he was writing in when he was in the golden age of science fiction, which at the time he said, well, it was just a bunch of guys with a lot of creativity happening. It didn't become the golden age until 50 years later, but that's what it is. He just really wanted to put that there. And the other judges are part of it. The other big names of science fiction and fantasy are part of it because they really believe in it. And it's not a thing about religion at all. It's a thing about science fiction. It's about continuing the arts, which has very much been endangered the last decade at least. So this is an opportunity for aspiring artists to be able to get that break. And because of this online writing course you alluded to a bit earlier, which is three of our judges, Orson Scott Card, Tim Powers, and Dave Wolverton, are the, I think you recorded what, a dozen or 13 or something videos? 12 videos, and then 10 essays from Mr. Hubbard, which they all say is absolutely invaluable material. Even though it was written in the 30s and 40s, it's the basics of writing haven't changed. Maybe some of the words have changed, but how you start a story, how you change it, how you build interest, how you create suspense, all that stuff are, you know, those are jewels you'll get from this course.
It is. It does. Actually, the website itself, I mean, there's so much there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can go through from the blogs to everything else, all the different videos. The videos to me are great because whether I'm watching them or not, I can be doing whatever I'm doing. Like the other night, just for an inch, I was catching up some bills for some of my customers and I wanted to go back and listen. I think it was one of the other ones, but I went and plugged it in or turned it on and just plugged my earbud in and went to what I was doing. So I'm still typing and doing bids. Actually bills and listening to it at the same time. So it's easy, people. I mean, it's easy, it's accessible. It works great. You know, it doesn't even glitch. A lot of times when you listen to videos and stuff on websites, a lot of times I want to jerk or get crazy or something. It didn't even glitch. It was very smooth. And like I said, I've said this 100 times, but the site is very, very smooth and very easy to navigate. By the way, I was just trying to pre-order two of the books. I guess apparently Daddy Joe's forgot his password to his Amazon account. We're going to have to figure that out. I don't know why it wanted me to go somewhere else, but I was on your site just now. And I'm going to bring the shop up in a little while, people, but because I'm getting ready to order the next set down from the next five down from the set I just ordered and gave away. So when it comes out, November 2nd is when the...
November 2nd, yeah, is when it releases.
Yeah, okay. The big annual event is on October 22nd, and then the book officially releases on November 2nd, and that would be volume 37, and it's a gorgeous one. The stories are awesome. Yes.
So when I get off with y'all, I'm going to pre-order three of them, but I still want to go back and order that other set. So now look, people. Now, the three pre-orders are going to be hard to get. I'm not going to make it easy on y'all. The other five books I'll give away normally through the Christmas season so y'all get them. I'm going to give away, but, what do you mean, John? No, you just heard him say it don't go out to November 2nd. I can't give one away on Halloween. I guess I could go to the future and come back. But,
but you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you get books right now, and you can pre-order volume 37.
And then you'll get... If you send in the proof of having ordered volume 37, and this is, you did this the other day, Joe, when you pulled up the header page on this page, the you can get a free copy of Rise to the Future volume 32 ebook sent to you as part of the gift from us.
You actually get a whole electronic bundle. If you pre-order volume 37, so you go to Amazon, you just pre-order it's Writers of the Future volume 37. And it's like, I think the book's like $15, the ebook's like $10. You get your book and then you send in proof of purchase to Galaxy Press. And if you just go to galaxypress.com, right there on the homepage, there's a little link you can click on, send you to an email. You send it in and you get a whole electronic bundle with, you know, some of the gorgeous art. There's screensavers, there's all different stuff you can get, plus a free ebook. So it's kind of a cool little deal.
Yeah.
You get, there it is up on the screen.
Yes, I was over there pre-ordering. No, people, like y'all can't see my code. We went through this last time. But I'm going to pre-order three of them. As soon as I get off here and can find my damn code, I'm ordering three of these. Again, I'm making it hard on you people. I give one away on Thanksgiving, one away on Christmas, and one away on New Year's. So y'all better be paying attention. And I'm going to make y'all do it ahead of time to get them. Because I know the other ones went really fast. I was surprised how fast they went. Like I said, I'm going to get five. Whoever texts me that on my messenger, I'm going to get five others. But I'm going to give them away during December. I'll probably give one away, maybe two away a week or something. I might order two sets and give two away a week or something. And we'll let y'all do battle of the volume you want. Yes.
Battle of the volume.
Hmm. Yeah. So I think it'll be fun, and y'all will get some good books. And I went back. I want to say it's volume 29, volume 30, somewhere around there. I started reading in, and then I skipped a couple, and then I came forward and started reading another one. So I'm kind of bouncing back and forth at the moment. But then I stopped because John sent me another book. Plus, I've been listening to the audio. Like yesterday, I got aggravated with somebody, so I put on one of the audiobooks and drove home. I was like, oh, yeah. it was nice. It was peaceful. It was quiet. I got to listen. Put it through my stereo so I could turn it up to the audio. It's nice. And, you know, most of these have great voices. I mean, so it's not like...
Yeah. It's all Hollywood actors.
Yeah, it's not like really squeaky voices or something, or something that you're like, oh, please let me turn this off now. So, oh, they're great people. Oh no, John, you can just cook them to your car. Unless you got a car from like the 1980s or 1990s, you can hook it to your car. You can listen that way. And if you got a car from the 1890s, you can buy one thing to plug into your FM things. You plug into your lighter. Well, if you got a lighter, yeah, you got one if it's an old car. So.
Oh wow, that's old school.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's worst case scenario, but I listen to all kinds of stuff through my stereo. I listen to music, but I listen to all kinds of other stuff. I don't get as much time to read. So it's when I got this book from Galaxy Press, this the way the audio files are set up is really easy. Plus, most of them are broke up. So it's like 5 minutes here, 3 minutes here, 9 minutes here. So I can stop them. So if I'm in a hurry, I'll listen, and then I'll remember where I started off and I'll come back. And it's not like just a line going across the bottom. No, it's not like that. I'm telling y'all, so far I've enjoyed all of them. Some of the genres I'm not as interested in as others, but I've enjoyed all of them. And the artwork is great. It's like a classic, I don't know, 50, 55 kind of style artwork. I could be wrong. Might be a little older.
A little early. This is the pulp fiction. This is 1930s and 40s artwork.
Yeah,
there.
So yeah, that's what I said. I might have been a little too late, but yeah. I really enjoy it. It's kind of campy and fun at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I meant that earlier, if you really look at most of the artwork, you got to get a sense of what the book is or the audio file is. So they did a good job on it. You know, I mean, I know it's hard to sum up something in one picture, but you can tell a story with a picture if you're good.
That's exactly right.
You add it in there. And
I just want to check and see if there's any questions that anybody has.
Janine wanted to know. Janine, apparently you just joined us. So yes, if you're an artist, you can submit.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So, okay, wait. Okay, I see what she's saying. I missed part of the question. So she's saying, what kind of picture does it have to be? Does it have to go to a book, or can just something that pops into my head, or should I be telling like a minimum story with it? See, you must have just came in here.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. So for Janine, I mean, it's what we do on the illustrator side is you submit three pieces, whatever you want. If they're pencils, if they're digital art, if they're watercolor, whatever it is that your medium is, you just submit three pieces of art, and you can send those in digitally, or you can mail them in, and that's how it goes. I mean, ideally they're looking for illustration type pieces, something that tells a story, but you know, we get everything. So it's, you know, the initial three pieces you send in sort of shows your skill.
Yeah, and it's the specifics of how you can send it in and the size of the JPEGs. TIFFs are usually too big file format, but normally JPEG people send it in. It gives you what size to submit on the JPEG. If you go to writersoffuture.com and then enter Illustrator Contest, there's a section on rules, and it has the breakdown of what size the files to send and how to do it. But again, like we said, you maintain your rights to everything as well.
Yes, guys. And it's, you know, their websites are easy to find. So, and I'll give you all the addresses again. Right now we're on galaxypress.com, but it's writersoffuture.com. So they're really easy. And if you forget, you can text me by the way, yes, John, I mean, Jack, the UFO Paranormal Room is back open now. Yeah. After being bad on YouTube for 2 weeks, YouTube hates us. I don't know what it is. I've had lawyers, and I've had friends, and even people from my network say, Joe, who did you make mad over there? But yet, and I shouldn't say this out loud, but yet none of my stuff has been banned, just other hosts. But people remember, if we get knocks after three times, they throw you off. So, but yes, y'all are back on UFO. Well, they're back on UFO Paranormal Gods and Extraterrestrials is back too. And International Public is fine. It's been there for a while. And yes, Bruce, it will be another United Public, but first we're dealing with YouTube. So one thing at a time. Anyway, getting back to what we were talking about. So John, I mean, did you really grow up where in your household, was there a lot of reading going on?
Yeah. Both my parents were teachers. They're both English teachers and music teachers.
I kind of feel for you.
My mom was a teacher too.
Oh my God.
So we read a lot and I was encouraged to read. And I actually loved to read. Like I've said a couple times before, I used to love when Texaco used to have, when I was a kid, they used to have these promotions where if you buy so many gallons of gas, you build up these points and then you can buy books. And I remember for like a dollar or 99 cents or something like that. So I remember getting Jack London's Call of the Wild, which I loved, and Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer. I mean, I was just really enjoyed reading those books, and it was it would transport me to other places. I could experience other things that were happening, and that's what, you know, these books are showing right here. Those were Pulp Fiction, and that was at a time right after World War I. The economy totally collapsed. There was the Depression, and people, half the country was out of work, and the other half was worried if they were going to still have the job the next day. So these books were written to at least give a person that little bit of time to escape whatever's happening with you. And that's why it's called, sometimes referred to as escapist fiction. And just enables you, you know, within the first paragraph, you've been transported someplace else. And that's what the value of these stories are. And so when you read them, there are all the different genres. There's adventure. These are adventure. They take place all over the world because he was a world traveler, which was very rare back in the day. So that's what you've got here on these different stories, whether it be Western, military fiction. He was a naval lieutenant in the during World War II, but he was also in the Marines, in the Marine Reserves before going into the Navy. So he writes really great military fiction, but he was also one of the first barnstorming pilots. He was one of the first certified glider pilots. So his air stories are just really enjoyed by other airmen. So it's just all kinds of stuff he writes. He was, because he was born in Montana and grew up there, it was at the end of the West. The West was at like turn of the century, 1900s. So he had a lot of great Western stories he was able to write. His book, Buckskin Brigades, was honored by the Blackfeet Indian Nation, because that was that book portrayed them as the true gentlemen of the plains, and really gave more of what was really going on back then. So it's something that the stories are really readable, and because they're written for not heavy sex, no sex in there, no profanity, it's appropriate for middle school on up. So it's something that everybody can enjoy. And that's one thing we do really well. And it's very appropriate that he actually created this contest, the Writers of the Future contest. And because of its success, the Illustrators of the Future started a few years later.
You know, Marvel, I know you were just talking, I would recommend, cause I know how you are when you read, so you'll nickel and dime yourself to death. Find one of the packages and start that way. Well, yeah, I mean, the books range in price anywhere from 9 on up. Yeah, I mean, some of them could be up to 50. So find the packages and do it like that, and then read through and read through and read through it. And you could probably get a good chunk of these books off by buying the packages, or you can get you a pad or something like that. I know you want the physical book because I know how you are. You want the tactile sense of reading, so I do understand that. But I would start with one of the mini packages, and you'll see them as I'm as I'm scrolling through, as we're talking, and I'm scrolling through the website. You can see them. So no, that's just what I would recommend. It's I mean, look, if you want to just buy one book and you just want to go see how there's a lot to choose from, find something in a genre you enjoy and choose. And I'll put the genres back up in a minute. But you just choose one. I mean, if you want to buy one for $9, you want to buy one for $40, it's up to you. But choose one to read. I mean, you got to start somewhere. And like, again, to everybody that's in my messenger, with the messenger streaming like warp speed, it's, you know. And again, oh, by the way, messenger people, UFO Paranormal Radio is open, so y'all go back and get in that chat room now where I can see it in the studio. Anyway, it's just one of those things. Just pick a book and go. Pick an audio file and go. They got them on SD drive, so you can get one on SD drive if you want to do that way. Oh, on the SD drives, is it audio or books or both?
Just the audio.
Okay. That's what I was asking, because I thought that's what it would be, but you never know. So I figured I'd better ask before somebody asked me.
They're all available in eBooks or pretty anywhere you can get books, you're going to find our books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and on Audible. If you like Audible, if you have an Audible account, you can get almost all of these on Audible there.
I got an Audible account, people. Do you? See, look, right here, $8.95, $12.95. Come on, man. You spend more than that in Starbucks in one day. Could you go in and get your, go in and get your latte with your little, you know, I know all y'all indulge with your little biscuit thingies or cinnamon rolls or whatever it may be. So you done spent $15 right there. And that's for the easy people. For some of y'all freaks that spend $20-$25 at Starbucks, y'all can buy a couple of books. So skip Starbucks. For, I know it's hard, but skip it for a day. Do it like skip once a week and get you a book. You're gonna get more pleasure out of the book than you'll have out of your coffee. Okay, maybe it's going to be a toss-up because some of you coffees are freakos. But still, I would really, again, I would start with the packages. And then, you mean for the contest for the three books I'm giving away? We'll talk about that on other shows. But it will be Thanksgiving. So it will actually be Thanksgiving Day. So you'll have to be paying attention because we're in music mode and rerun mode on the holidays. So you're going to have to pay attention. There'll be a clip in there that runs and tells you about the book. And if you catch it at the right time, the book is yours. Same thing on Christmas Day and the same thing on New Year's Day. We do this a lot. You know, last time we did, we gave a TV away. I wish I'd never done that. But anyway, y'all can get in there. Oh, we are going to be giving a computer away this year again. A computer was donated for just that purpose. Somebody said, "Oh, I want you to give this computer away for the holidays." It's pretty nice. It's about an $1,800 computer. So it's a gaming computer. Well, I'm not going to get into that, but sometime probably Christmas Eve, we'll give that away. You can pay for it, have it shipped overnight. So I doubt you'll get it Christmas Day, but you know what? Maybe I'll do it the day before so people have a shot, but I doubt it. Consider it like a late Christmas present. It's a nice computer. And when I got it, I was like, "Oh, is this for the station?" He said, "No, I know you like to give away stuff." I'm like, "It comes from Alienware, by the way. That's who donated it." Y'all should know what Alienware computers are right now if y'all been around for a while. But anyway, getting back to the books, I mean, there's just so much in here that you can go through. There's lots and tons of material. You could spend days and weeks and months just perusing through it and seeing what you want. There's five pages here. So let me go back up here to genres. So there you go. So there you go. There's your books all laid out here. I'll put the little mouse on it so y'all can see it. Fantasy, historical, fiction. I wonder if I could daydream on that. Yes, probably I could. Horror. See, I'm not the biggest horror fan. Military and war, though, I can get into that. Mystery and suspense, I can definitely get into that. Where was I? I lost count. Where the hell did I go? Okay, I lost it.
You said mystery and suspense, then there's science fiction and Western.
Okay, I must have moved something on my mouse. Oh, wait, and then here's – this is just – so it just tells you the audio CDs and audiobook collections. Oh, wait, let's go here for a minute. Okay, here we go. So here we go. All right, there you go. I have to look and see how many's in each one. 80? How much? Oh, come on, y'all getting a deal. Have y'all seen the prices of the books? Go price out 80 books. And I didn't mean that in a mean way. It kind of sounded like I did, but I mean, no, really. Again, start, you know, you don't have to do that one. You can do this one or you can do this one. 120, 165, you know. It also tells you what's going to be in them, which I kind of like, so you can really get in. Well, you know how I am. I like my audiobook. So, you know how many guests I've had convert to an audiobook and send to me, even if it was on like Google Sam or Google Samantha. I just prefer it that way. It's easier for me to absorb. Now, if there's a lot of good illustrations in it, that might be a different thing. I might want to do it again. Now, here, people, this is the pre-order page. When you go over, when you go to galaxypress.com, right on the front page, you just click pre-order. It brings you right here. Go 3C. Title will be released on November 2nd. You better get in line, peeps. You better get in line. It's holiday season. What's down here? Oh, I had to come check them out. You better get in line. See, I already got two in the basket up there. Anyway, we'll do that when we get off air. But, again, go find you a genre you like and get in there. Or better yet, like with the audio files you see, it crosses a few genres. So go on in and feel around, see what you like. You might actually find something that you didn't think you liked, you might actually like. Mm-hmm. Who would have ever thought I would have talked about politics? Somebody fell out the sky when I did that. I still hate politics, but somebody got to talk about it. But anyway, But go just, wait, military and war. Let's see what they got. Boom. There you go. So these are the audio collections. I didn't go back to the books yet. So here we go right here. Short stories, audiobook collection, $140. You can go ahead and hang out, check it out. And like I said, look how fast the site works. It's just smooth. Scroll
the Band Patrol is about the Coast Guard.
Yeah, wait, say that again, John.
That's about the Coast Guard, that one.
See, John knows what they're about. So yeah, he's cheating because he probably read them all. It's
we proofread them all.
Yeah. So, but yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. So, because they probably read like Linda, like warp speed readers. Actually, Frank, you can enjoy a book and read quickly, and because once you get a certain custom to reading a certain way, I'm not talking about speed reading where you skip a word. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Some people have the ability to absorb books on a faster than normal level. And it looks like the more you read, the easier it becomes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, no, these are good. Look, see, there's all the stories. Like, bam, bam, bam. You can check them all out. See them? Uh-oh. Is it going to be a kiss or a kill? I don't know. Have to go look and see. this chick looks hot. I mean, not hot in that way. She's like, she's going to hit somebody. Y'all better watch out. Wait, what's going on with this guy? So, I mean, just go check him out. I would enjoy it. And again, if you're going to submit something, well, it's close to 5 days now because it's getting pretty late.
So the last quarter for volume 38, the last, you know, we're picking our last three winners for this year that get published in volume 38. And you have till September 30th to get your stories in. So you should just, if you have something ready or you want to write something quickly, go ahead and get your story in.
Yeah, that was you're talking about there too. There was this package that you bought.
Yeah, this is the one I just gave away now. We're going to jump back for a second. When I order these two advanced tonight, I'm also going to order this one. So these will also, I'll probably order two of these. I might order these. I might get something else. But anyway, this is going to be the next set, people. So let me get this out of the way. You can kind of get a glimpse at the titles. We're going to be giving these away in December. Mm-hmm. Maybe the last week of the last week of November. We'll give some away too, because we usually do some type of, I guess you'd call it a relaxed broadcast over the weekend of the holiday. So, well, Michelle and I still be on. We'll still be doing the Gray Zone Uncensored on Saturdays, on most Saturdays. So you can catch it out there. And you know what? I might do that. I might give one of these away on each Gray Zone. Ooh, yeah. So we'll have to think about that. But I will announce it if that's the way we do it. But anyway, we'll probably get this one. We'll get this one. The other two, and then one other thing, so we can have a couple of giveaway. And then I know we got a couple people donating books this year, so we'll give some of those away. And then we got actually quite a few books coming in this year. I think as it stands right now, we'll be giving away 3 books a day, I'm pretty sure. Right now, we got at least 100 donated plus what I'm getting here. And last year, we gave away more than that. I think we gave away 300 books last year.
Wow, that's amazing. Great.
The best year we ever had, we actually gave away 900 books, but we had some big donations coming that year, so it was easy. But people, you know you're going to, you know, if it's, I know some people are tight because it's COVID and you haven't been working like you usually do. So these are a way to get a free book. Okay.
That's great.
Pay attention, call in and get it. And like I said, you know, we'll be giving 3 away a day on different shows or on different breaks. So you can win up to 3 books a day. And honestly, probably by the time we get to December, it'll probably be like more 5 or 6 books a day. So now they're going to be from all kinds of genres, from different kind of writers. There won't be anything political, but before anybody asks, I'm not giving away a full type political, any type of book from anybody. I know we had a gentleman who's very famous offer to donate 100 of his books, but they're very controversial and I don't want to start any BS. So there's enough of that in the world without me adding to it. So like I said, we're going to get these. And so everybody, look, see, there's the titles before I switch over to a different page. I might as well add it to the cart now. I'm thinking about it. And, I'll forget. But anyway, so y'all know, you know, we're giving away these. So why would I give anything away at their, what? Never mind. That was a dumb question.
Now, one thing that we haven't mentioned either about this, because some people might go like, well, I won't be one of the top three winners in the quarter. We have it too now where the contest is so well established after 38 years that the top 10% will end up receiving a certificate saying they're an honorable mention or a silver honorable mention. And because of the repeat of the contest, if you put that on your resume, editors will take your work out of the slush pile to take a look at it. Because if you're an honorable mention in Writers of the Future, they automatically know that you've been basically pre-selected by the most
pre-screened.
Yeah, it's been pre-screened so that they know that, okay, if you're an honorable mention with Writers of the Future, then you've got something good going for you because of the nature of the contest. Because if you get that, it had nothing to do with who you are. It's only with you got that because of what you wrote or what you painted. So that's one thing to also keep in mind, too, why you should submit.
Rhianne, I can guarantee you other publishing companies are watching whatever's coming out of here. Because there may be a way for them to scoop up on a new author or a new artist. You got to remember, this is a highly competitive market. Well, you can see a lot of bestsellers in a year, but, you know, it's the people who have bestsellers and they repeat or they come into a movie or something else, a short story or something. So there's just a lot of, and you can make, and you don't, and I hate to say it this way, but you don't have to be in the top 15% in the money makers to be actually making good money with your book. I just want to be honest with you about it. Cause I know quite a few people who I shouldn't say it like this, but I would call them middle of the road authors. They're good stories, but they don't have that clean, smooth, like they should. But they're good. I mean, you want to read them and you don't mind, you know, the $10, $5, $10, $15 you paid for the book. So yes, they're making it good. They're never going to be in the thing, but they're going to make $150,000, $250,000, $350,000 a year. So it's not a bad living. And of course, there are those ones, like some of the really great ones that can come up with a book and all of a sudden, bam, next thing you know, it's a movie making a ton of money. So, but I got to be honest, people, usually when your first book makes a movie, you don't get that much. Just so I tell you to be honest with you. I've had a few friends now that have had books turned into movies or short stories and stuff, and they've been very disappointed by the first take. Now, the ones that have second ones, that's a whole different story. So get out there, get to writing, get to submitting 5 days. Well, 5 days and a few hours. What are y'all? Yeah, y'all Pacific time. So y'all got five days and about 5 hours. Get your story in. You got time. I know there's a lot of closet writers out there waiting to come out the closet. So just a good time. Yeah, think of it like this. Oh, I gotta be a wrestler. And do it without thinking about it. Okay. Again, the worst thing that's gonna happen is they'll say apply again.
That's right.
That's it. You're not gonna get any hate mail, you're not gonna get any criticism, you're not gonna get anything. You're gonna say thank you for submitting to Writers of the Future. And then you'll know just to submit again. That's because I'm a sore loser, that's different. that's different. Yeah, you're right, because I'm on in podcast, people. But really, eventually I'll submit one. I'm going to submit one because it's going to aggravate me until I do it. But because I don't like not being able to do anything. It's just an ADHD thing with me. But if you're out there and you're listening tonight, and I know there's a lot of people listening to us on Friday. There's more than a million people tuned in right now because I can see the service. And look, and I can see at least 108 countries right now. It's probably more than that because I can't see the other side of the screen. So look, they take writers from anywhere. Don't matter if you're Muslim. They don't care if you're Catholic. They don't care if you're Baptist. They don't care if you're white. They don't care if you're pink. They don't care if you're red. You could be an extraterrestrial as long as you could write a story. Now, there might be a little problem when you show up to collect the award, but other than that, they just want you to submit. And you write it. You become famous. You don't become famous. It's really up to you. But if you don't submit, it's like the first, for guys, this is a thing. It's like the first time you want to ask a woman out. And you're like, no. Well, you know, if you never ask her out, you're never going to have kids. You never get married. You're going to die an old, miserable SOB. So
you never look like that, Joe.
I'm being honest. That's why I get in trouble because I'm too honest sometimes. But really, and ladies, do you want to turn your stories in? Besides, they know this. I've been griping about this for 3 years. We need new sci-fi.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. COVID has wiped out. I've watched so many bad sci-fi movies now. I'm thinking about getting a whole new genre. Submit. Look.
Yeah, one of our quarters last year, all the winners were female. It's just, you have no way of knowing. It's just, it's open to everybody. So there's no differentiation. So it doesn't matter if you're female or male or, like I said, any nationality, any ethnic, it's all the judges see is the story and a number. So they have no idea. And whoever they say is the winner is who we fly out. There's no other evaluation on it at all. So
I'll tell you what, Captain Jack, if you submit a story to them and you win, I will give you a radio show for a year for free.
Wow.
I'll even give you a good time slot for 1 year. but you got to submit and you got to win. I'll tell you, I'll make that offer to anybody who can get in the top 3% over there. If you're interested and you can win, call me after you win. I'll know because I know John and Emily. And if you want a show for the year, I'll give it to you. No questions asked, no supplies. You pick your thing. All you got to do is show up. That's it.
Wow. That's awesome. That
even, you know, usually the slides I'm talking about go for about $2,000. So you can come in, do it. Just consider an extra bonus for knowing these two and submitting to Writers of the Future. Well, that's how much faith I have in them. Yeah, I really know. We'll address that real quick. Sometimes it is hard for writers to translate into audio. I understand that because I interview a lot of authors. Some authors can get up here and talk like me all night long, and some of them feel really uncomfortable doing this. And even for you, if you feel uncomfortable, I will take the time to show you how to speak correctly on a radio network and how to feel comfortable with doing it. I mean, look at John, man. He's great. His numbers have been steadily going up weekly. There's a lot of good, lot, and for you, especially if you're a writer, it gives you a whole new venue to sell your books to, or just to get people to read them. And again, you can be giving them away for free for that matter. But it will bring a whole new thing into you and might even bring you some new fresh ideas when you start writing, because we talk about a lot of things on this network. We cross a plethora of genres, as Dave Scott would say. One more question. No, we got time. What do you want? What? Why don't you send that UFO and I'll trans? That's like a mile long. If you come into the chat room, I can actually click it and send it and everybody can see it. Yes, because I'll be reading that for 5 minutes. Tabitha the Friendly Ghost. Okay. What do you got for us, Tabitha? I don't believe you that the judges don't see the stories.
They just don't see the names of the people.
Yes, and that's what you meant. And yes, you love me, but you don't believe me. I feel betrayed here now. I'm saying this is just wrong. How long you been listening to me on the radio? Because I know you, Nick. So how long? 10 years, 15 years? At least 10 years, right? And how many times have I lied to you, and how many times I represented somebody that wasn't worth watching? That's right. So why would this be any different? I'm sorry. I like the books. John's the one that got me hooked. I'm serious. I knew about who L. Ron Hubbard was, but I had no idea about all of this until I met him. And I met him first, and I met Emily, and they have been exactly what they said they are. Exactly. I know it's scary, but it's true. There are actually decent people on the planet. I don't know what to tell you. No. And I know you, right? Because I've seen you put stuff into the thing. So look, take all that stuff you've been writing for all these years, put it in something coherent, and send it to them. And they're going to blind judge it. It's going to go into them. There's going to be no name, no nothing on it. And they're going to look at it, and they're going to read it. And either the judge is going to go, oh, my God. He's like, oh, why did I read this? Now I got to go wash my brain out. Is there a way to cleanse your brain after reading a story? You know how you eat cleanse your palate after drinking wine? I was thinking, is there a way to do that after you read a story? Yes, we might need to figure that one out. Or maybe you should read a story a day or something. But no, there's a lot of good things out there. And just try it. That's all you got to do. Matter of fact, for everybody listening tonight, whoever has that writing gift, submit. Oh, I'd like to see y'all overwhelm them with stuff. So would they, for that matter. They would be happy if two kids in the, just write. No, I understand that. So you're gonna have to write in English. Yes.
Yeah.
You're in India.
But we have on our forum, the Writers of the Future forum, we've had probably half a dozen winners who English was a second language. And in the forum, we have people that actually help. So we've had, French, we've had Norwegian, we've had Spanish. So if you write another language, you can even find people to help you on how to translate and keep the right idioms and usages like that into your stories and submit like that. So we've had winners who've gotten help through the Writers of the Future forum, which is also on writersoffuture.com, to help you on submitting.
Now, Ibid said he's a Pakistani who's a transplant to India. And he said that he's actually won a couple of prizes. Would that negate him from submitting? He said he didn't win any money. He's just won a couple of times.
Well, it depends. He needs to go to writersofthefuture.com. And there's a rules page when you go to enter the contest. And it lists out what the rules are. And that's how you can see if you're qualified or not.
But if he wasn't paid, then he's not disqualified. He's won awards, but hasn't paid for it.
He hasn't been paid for it. But you're going to have to write your story in your native language because your English isn't that good, and then have it translated.
Yeah.
Yes. Because if you try to write it the way you're writing the text right now, they're going to be like, what? Yes. Because you put your A, that's not going to work. Just write it in whatever it is, Hindi, whatever it is, write it out like that. And Google has great translators. There's other translators besides that. You can run it through the matrix. It'll translate it. Find one of your friends who can read English really well and let them proof it for you. And that'll help you out. Yeah. Cause I can understand what you're saying, but it's kind of broke up to me. It's the way you place your vowels and your words are different than the way Americans place theirs.
Yeah.
So if you use the translator, it will put them where they're supposed to be.
It's good to get a friend that can help you though. It's good to get a friend or somebody that, you know, if you feel good about it. We've got people from Russia doing that and from that whole region that enter the contest, and they get other people to help them translate.
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, it's like I said, we've had half a dozen people who have actually won who were helped by other people on their translations. So that's something we definitely suggest.
Yeah, and you can check out at writerspeech.com. Go to the forum. You'll see it's on the left-hand menu bar there, and you can get some help there as well.
Yeah.
A lot of like-minded people there.
Yeah, sorry, that was my burglar alarm going off. I had to mute it.
Oh.
The evil burglar alarm. Again,
well, hopefully it's not a real alert.
No, it's more like where's daddy alert. she likes to check on me, see if I'm off air yet. The other ones, the ones who pass and the big one we got now, they know. She knows exactly what time I should be home and exactly what time I get off the radio on whatever night I'm on. Because about 10 minutes before the show, she'll come lay right at the edge of the cage and go, she won't bark. She's good about that. The little one, she's still being trained. Maccabee, is that your name? You've seen the genres. I'd go over there and read, but there's a lot of genres you can submit in. Well, sci-fi covers a lot of things. You know,
yeah, speculative fiction. So it's science fiction, fantasy, alternate history, dark fantasy. Those are kind of like the main things on it. But basically, it's speculative. So if it's a history and you twist it so that it's not what really happened, and that's an alternate history. Tom Clancy always wrote science fiction, even though he didn't call it like that. Michael Crichton always wrote science fiction. He never called it that. So it's just something where it's something that's a new technology that doesn't exist yet or hasn't fully been revealed yet. Then that would be science fiction.
Again, if you don't submit, you can't win.
That's right.
Really what it comes down to. Yeah, you got to get out there and submit and win. Well, you know, that's another thing. Now, it would be too late to do that right now. But you could go through a lot of these books and get a kind of feel for writing. I mean, Elrond's got a ton of books on here. And since he was a fairly successful writer, maybe you'd like to go peruse through some and see if you get a gist of writing. Because I noticed some of them, he writes some kind of campy, some kind of more along the line of, being more serious and a whole realm of stuff in between. So the only way you're going to find out is to read them. And I know a lot of people like to read a particular artist and then model themselves after. That's not a good thing because that's not you. That's somebody else. Write from your heart, write from your brain, write from what feels right to you. And I'm not, let's not go into politics. I just mean what feels right to you in whatever genre you happen to be writing in. Because there's quite a few to write in. Mystery and suspense, that's a pretty good one. There's a lot of areas you can cross on in mystery and suspense.
There's
a whole wonderful thing. Westerns, you know, when I was a kid, it's kind of funny to me because my dad was big into Westerns when I was growing up, so we watched a lot of them. He's also big into the Untouchables and stuff like that. He wasn't big into sci-fi. That came later in my life. I started watching, I think it was Star Trek, the original series. Oh, I shouldn't even said that. Now y'all know how old I am. But anyway, but you know, because of that, and I was lucky. I was raised in private schools, a little spoiled, and not completely, but a little bit. And we were required to read a classic a week. So I was there for, I probably read more than 100 classics in the time I was in school. Plus, we went to certain types of theaters and to arts, and I was very lucky in that. And it's a shame that public school kids don't get to absorb that, because, you know, some of the operas put me to sleep, some of the ballets put me to sleep, but some of them were fantastic and great. We were exposed to a lot of books, but they didn't just take us to that kind of stuff. We got to go to real rock concerts and stuff like that. So we were given a appreciation of music from both from modern all the way back to Mozart and things like that. And it's just a better way of doing it, because at the age I was, I absorbed a lot of that. And it's also encouraged me to read more. And matter of fact, from 16, after my dad died when I was 16 to about 20, I used to listen to Mozart, actually a couple of the classic artists, and read just to kind of lose myself in fantasy, because I wanted to go out and drink. So this was a better way for me to just kind of, you know, relax and not think about the things that were bothering me in life. It was an easier way for me to get through it. And there's some great books out there. And, you know, I like classical music. I actually like a lot of different kind of music. I shouldn't say that. I mean, I don't think there's not much I won't listen to. And yes, Bruce, I do share my audios. Actually, before YouTube threw us off United Public Radio, there was more than 4,000 songs on my playlist there. So you could go through and list. Uh-huh. I had like three different setup. Now it's about 150, so it's a new list, but still. Well, I listen to country. I listen to some country. I listen to rock. There's a couple of rap songs I like. There's a lot of modern music I like. There's a lot of music from the past I like. Well, you know, sometimes you get hooked on the classicals. And some of it's fun. If you really pay attention to what the artist is trying to portray, some of the music is actually quite fun. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that, because that's not what we're here to talk about. That's it for a whole other show. We'll do maybe one night I'll break out all the classical artists and we'll just go through each one's what I think each one's favorite song is. I'm sure there'll be difference between other people. Marcus, I'm on that page. I'm in the shop on galaxypress.com. That's where I'm at right now. So just pop over to galaxypress.com here. Let me pop in the back over here. Hit the button shop. Look at that. Boom. It brings you right into here where I'm at. If you don't want to go through the books themselves, here's a list of the genres right here. Go on through. Ooh, hardcovers. I didn't see that. Wait, I got to check that out. We might have to give some of them away. Ooh, I didn't know Battlefield Earth came in a hardcover. Damn.
That's a first edition, first printing. We have a few of those. So,
oh, man.
That's oh, my 1982.
Damn, I'm about to buy one of these. Damn it. Okay, put it in a cart too. Get in the damn cart. I don't spend $200 on it tonight. You Christmas people better be, you know, that's all I got to. Yeah, y'all already plotting now. Y'all got to get it on Christmas. Y'all know ahead of time. See, you're lucky you're here tonight while we're doing this, so you know what's going to be going on. I don't know, hardcover, it might go back here with the picture. Y'all might not get it. You know, I'm kind of funny like that. We'll think about it. And yeah, I get at least once a month when you can see the picture behind me that you sent me. At least once a month, somebody says, "When are you gonna give it away? When are you gonna give it away? You're gonna give it away." I actually had to take the little pad thing down because every week, "When are you giving that away?" I said, "I'm not." "When are you giving away?" "I'm not." It's like, look, people, some things I'm not giving away. That's like I'm getting ready to buy a Lexus. I'm not gonna give that away either. it's gonna stay parked down the beach of my house. Actually, oh, Chris, you're in the room tonight. Hey, my car guy's here. He's hunting me a truck right now. I need a new pickup truck. Yeah. You know, finding cars right now. So remember, you heard me talking tonight, Chris. It's got to have a good audio connection on it. I want a good stereo system in it. I want a good truck, but I want a good stereo so I can listen to these things. Yeah, because I actually got a pad stand now for my car. So I can set up the pad in the car and go ahead and listen that way. But I got to watch myself. I had to turn it the other way because I had a tendency to want to look at it. So it had to go the way. We got about 15 minutes and we're going to be out of here. And we're going to get rolling out here. We're an hour and a half tonight, people. Yeah, because we've got some other stuff going on. That's going to be coming up next. Some specialty weirdos coming up. Not these two. These guys are sweet as pie. Just got to watch a Canadian. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, it's what's that? Ron says he's going to ambush your Canadian chocolate when it comes down. He lives right at the border where the ups people come through and stuff. You can steal hers. Just stay off mine. That's all I'm saying. Look, get hers. Like, it takes a lot of work to get somebody to send you Canadian chocolate when you live way down in a deep south where it doesn't get cold but like 5 days a year. It's not, you know, and it don't get really cold out where y'all live either, does it? I mean, what kind of winters do y'all have out there? 70 degrees? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
some of us don't experience winter. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry for all y'all that get 8 foot of snow and you got to dig your way out to your car and watch your dog disappear in the yard as he goes outside to do his business. I feel for you. Wow, I live in the south. What do you mean? What kind of contest? You mean you want to donate books? Yeah, ICR at Cox.net. And yeah, and get in touch with me that way. Well, I'd give you my phone number, but I ain't giving it out on over the air. Oh, no, to hell with that. I got enough weirdos calling me now. But no, well, if you want to. Go ahead, John.
One more thing I was going to say, too, is which we talked about on Wednesday night, is if anybody listening right now, pretty much just in the United States, and for this particular thing, we gave away, when we were at Dragon Con a few weeks ago in Atlanta, we gave away 1,500 copies of this book here, Battlefield Earth, that we were talking about. And they went to the blood drive, the Heinlein blood drive, and it resulted in contributing to 2,600 units of blood being donated. So if there's other blood drives that are interested, because it was really good, as if you donate blood, we'll give you this book for free. I've got 500 books that I can provide to a blood drive to assist in raising blood units for much needed, you know, blood drives. So I'm just putting this out there. They can, if they contact you, then you can just let me know, and then I'll get with them directly on that and help provide these books to promote
the next blood time drives. Next time I hear someone's doing one, I'll go catch up with them. They don't do them as much as they used to for some reason. I'm not exactly sure. Or I just don't hear about them. That might be what it is. I don't listen to as much.
So somebody's listening to this and does one. Yeah.
It's, no, that's not Emily. This is Emily. That's Emily. This is somebody else. I don't know who this crazy woman is in the blue dress, but that's not Emily. Some crazy woman. Who is a crazy woman in a blue dress?
Is that on the Writers of the Future website?
Yeah, that's Illustrators. It's right here where it says Illustrators Contest Rules. Yeah.
She was one of the winners a few years ago from Illustrators
of the Future. She looks happy. Let's see. No entry fee is required. And then see, right, publication rights. Look, people, it's right here. All you need to know. Look, I'm scrolling through it. Look, here's how you enter it. Fourth quarter 2021, September 30th. It's almost the 25th, people. 5 days. Get in here right now. You better get your story in. And don't come whining to me when you don't. Oh, can I get it out? Be like, no.
It's a hard cutoff at midnight. It's definitely a hard cutoff at midnight on September 30th. So you want to get your story in. And if you mail it in, if you happen to mail it to Writers of the Future, it just needs to have the
postmark.
It needs to be postmarked for 30 September.
It's any reasonable questions or normal questions? Not these crazy ones y'all are asking tonight. No, I'm not asking it. What? Yeah, y'all might as well be speaking Roman or some ancient tongue or something in here tonight. I don't know what's going on. No, really. Oh, okay, I got you. So, Matthew. Oh no, we already answered the question, Matthew. No, yes. All you got to do is submit it, and it's a blind judge. You don't have to worry about it. They don't care what you look like. You could be ugly. You could be handsome. You could be anything. You could be sexiest beast man in town, like John. It still ain't gonna matter. It's not gonna make the judges decide to vote for you. Let me put it that way. It's just, there's nothing really you can personally do, but other than give them a good story.
That's right.
There's no bribing them with cookies or, you know, y'all heard me. I was trying to give them chocolate chips and stuff. there's none of that going on. You got to submit, and it's blind judged, and then just hope you win. Like, I understand that. I mean, I've been in lots of competitions and lots of things, especially since I've been in radio. And even when I was young and I was in sports and all kind of other stuff that I was in, I competed in a lot of I competed at dancing. Shit, I fed my family for 3 years by winning dance contest. Not that kind of dancing, whoever wrote that. We used to have a lot of contests throughout the Gulf South for dancing, and I was just really good at it. I won quite a lot of money. It was an interesting way of making a living, I have to say. I raced dirt track cars for 4 or 5 years too. Made a pretty good living at that too. It just wasn't what I was into. There was other things in my mind at the time. But get out, people, buy the damn books and then submit them, right? That's what I was going to tell you. Buy the book and submit. You can't. That's cheating. What do you think? They're not going to realize it's the same story? Come on. So Marshall goes, well, I'll buy one of L. Ron's books and just change the story a little and send it in. Trust me, they're going to know it. Trust me, I would know it. So they're definitely going to know it. Wait.
Yeah, that won't work. But you should read some of the Writers of the Future anthologies, and then you get an idea of what kind of stories are winning. A lot of people will, you know, they'll submit and then they'll be like, well, I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. And then they buy some of the anthologies for Writers of the Future. And then they read the stories and they say, oh, okay, I see what kind of stories are winning. And then it kind of helps guide you a little bit. Well, no plug or anything for the books. Just, but it's true.
Well, you know, that's what we were saying earlier. It's just bottom, because it will really help you out to see who's winning. And plus, it's really good stories on top. So you get a good story, you get to learn something at the same time. It's a good piece of advice, because for all y'all who are new writers, or maybe not so much new writers, but scared writers, because, you know, I know a lot of people who will write, but never submit anything. I've got friends now in their 40s and 50s that have stacks of papers, books in their house. They just won't submit them, or scripts or things like that. And they just, I'm like, the worst thing they can tell you is no. It's not like they come to your house and shoot you, beat you. Well, Emily might, but the rest of them are going to leave you on. Some Canadians, I'm telling you, watch them. No, I'm just teasing. But
sometimes
really,
even spouses will submit a story for the other person, because they're,
that's a good idea
just
too.
Like the singer, but like, if you know that they're good, just go ahead and submit it for them then. And then they can find out. We had one person from San Diego, this maybe 10 years ago now, who had a story. It was in his drawer, and he said, no, I'm not good enough. And his wife actually submitted the story. And when he got a phone call from the contest saying, congratulations, he said, congratulations for what? You know, because he didn't submit. So when he found out, it was a great speech he gave when he was on stage at the awards ceremony. But if, you know, the only way you're going to find out is if you actually submit. And there is no judging that you're better or something like that. It's just, the worst you're going to get is an email from us saying, thank you very much. Submit again. Yes. That's the worst it's going to be.
And you already got an email from me saying, please don't submit again. So it's different.
No. See,
that tells you right off the bat who you should be sending it to. Don't send it to me. Look, I get friends ask me all the time, will you proofread my stuff? I'm like, no. They're like, why? I said, because I don't want to. It's because I said, if I like it, you're going to be why. And if I don't like it, you're going to be why. I said, no, I just don't want to go there. I said, that's why we're still friends, because I'm proofreading your book. Go ask your mama to do it. I'm not doing it. It's a shame on me, but really, you know, too many people are too sensitive these days, so I don't want to take the chance and say, you know, I really liked it, but this, you should do that. And I'm not really a writer. I shouldn't be giving anybody advice on writing. Come on. Radio, yes. Any kind of construction, yes. Science, yes. But not writing. That's just, I should, don't ever ask me for people. I'll just refer you to the good ones. That's what I'll do. Go talk to them. or go to the Writer's Futures website and take the course. Or look, you know, like I do, you know, I still ain't finished the damn course the whole time yet. So I go back and I play with this. I'll listen to that. I'll read this. You can do that. Yeah, nobody's going to slap you around. No, you're good. You can go back as many times as you want and read stuff. And really, like I was telling them Wednesday, you know, I've been working on this piece, and by going back, because I've always had, you know, I was telling them, I always had a problem with the filler stuff and you know, stuff like that. As far as the point blank blunt stuff, I can write that, but it's too short. It's not, it's like, yeah, John got up and shot his head off or something. No, that's just not going to work. And there's got to be some substance to it. So, or I found an alien on Mars. No, it's got to be more than that. So, you know, I've been learning that, and it's actually helped me. Sometimes I think it sounds dumb as hell when I'm writing it, but still, it's actually helped in those ways. It's not just that. There's a couple of other things that I've learned off the site, and it's convenient. It's easy to use, and if you don't have the confidence you think you need, go take the course. It'll give you a lot more confidence in your writing, and submit. And just submit. And right now, I'm just saying submit, and if they say no, take the course, see where you might have messed up, see where you can change things, see how you can clean it up, and submit it again or change it. I mean, you know, there's lots of ways to change a story. So just do it. And, you know, it's a damn shame, because I had a great imagination when I was young. It's a shame I never wrote then. That could have been the next Spielberg or something. No, I'm just kidding. But we're going to be getting out of here in about 8 or 9 minutes. So anybody else? I know I see a lot of crazy questions, but okay. So, and wait, what? Finish typing and then I'll read the question. Yeah, that's why I didn't know what you were saying. Oh, she just wanted to know. So if you win, do you, what happens when you win? Do you get to meet the people who judged you?
Yeah. So when you win, it's really cool. When you win the contest, do you actually, so you get paid for your story, you get paid for winning, like there's cash prize. So whether you get first, second, third place, the prize is $1,750 or $500. And then at the end of the year, when it's about time to publish the book, we fly all the winners from wherever you are. We fly them out to Hollywood for a week-long workshop with the judges. So you'll be sitting there in a room with the other 11 writers, or if it's the illustrator side, with the illustrators, and you'll be taught by like some of the best in the industry. So if you're a writer and you're sitting in the workshop, you'll have about maybe 15 different instructors. It could be it'll be like Orson Scott Card, who wrote Ender's Game, Tim Powers, Pirates of the Caribbean. You'll have David Farland, who's the coordinating judge. You're going to have Brandon Sanderson. He's one of the biggest fantasy authors right now. Larry Niven, all of these amazing best-selling authors who will teach you for a week. And then there's all kinds of events that happen also throughout the week. There's an art reveal where for the first time, the writers get to meet the illustrators and see the piece that's in the book. And then the book gets revealed to them. And then there's a big awards event. It's a big gala event. It's a black tie, red carpet, you know, whole big fancy event in Hollywood. They call it like they call it the Oscars for writers and art illustrators, and those celebrities there. And it's a whole big event, and everyone goes on stage. They all get their trophies, and then we announce the grand prize winner. And there's going to be one writer and one illustrator at the end of the year who takes home the grand prize, which is it. Extremely large trophy. Everyone gets a trophy, but the grand prize is huge, and they get an additional check for $5,000. And then after that,
plus the hotel, the flight,
yeah,
the award ceremony, that's all paid for by the contest. Mr. Hubbard funded that in his
So that's all covered. And then once people go home back to their back to wherever they came from, we also set up book signing tours and media for them. So we just, whatever we can do to help launch your career and get you started, that's pretty much what you get. Yeah. And, if we go to sci-fi conventions and you happen to be around, we'll let you have a space in a booth to autograph your own books. And we'll stay in touch with you after that if you need help with things as well.
We were in Salt Lake City last week. We had 6 past winners come in and autograph at our booth.
Yeah, even a winner from Volume 9. Came in to sign books, and so that was super nice. So,
See what y'all missing out on, people. Y'all could be having a blast. Submit the book and look at all the things that can fall out of place for you. And don't get discouraged if you don't win the first time. We pick on a friend of ours who's a mutual friend, Preston, and he had to submit quite a few times to win. And he's not the only one. Yeah. There's other people that have submitted a few times. So, don't get discouraged. I mean, if you want to be a writer, just write and submit, write and submit, write and submit. I just think it's easy to submit to them because it's a blind. Because when you submit to other places, I was talking with somebody from a publishing company just the other day, and he was telling me they get overwhelmed sometimes with submissions. And he said a lot of times a lot of good stuff will get missed because it's just not a recognized name. There's no reason to pick it up. There's been no push-up or hello or, hey, such and such said to read this. So a lot of times they get pushed to the wayside, whether it's good or bad. This way you can submit. You know it's being read, mm-hmm. and you'll know if it was good enough to get in. But we'll get ready to roll. One more question. Will it be televised? You didn't say. You watch it from the site, right?
Yeah, you can see the event at writersofthefuture.com. We'll announce on there when it'll be airing.
It's a... it's not on broadcast TV, but it is on. It'll be on YouTube and another social. But we'll have it set up.
You just go to writersofthefuture.com. You can also sign up for the newsletter at Writers of the Future, and we send out emails and when and where you can see it and how you can tune in.
Well, there you go, people. That way you can watch and see what's going on. Y'all might even get lucky and see me in a tux. But anybody sees me in tux, you better send $5, people. That's all I got to say. It's what do you mean? What kind of tux? probably I picked up a second one, so I might wait a modern version this year. No, I've got what we call a classic tux, and I got a modern tux. So, yes, y'all, I see the suit I'm be wearing. Mm-hmm. It's pretty too. But anyway, enough about all that. Y'all shouldn't be worried about how I'm dressed. You should be worried about Emily's dress. What do you care how I'm being dressed, Lord? John and I just gonna be sexy beastmen walking around while the rest of y'all. We're gonna be like, what? No, get back. We might have to have armed guards and armed security. I'm just saying. So, Mark, yes, again, before we leave, I'm gonna say this 100 millionth time. Submit, 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 submit. Oh, by the way, if any of y'all got pull over at podcast pod, you know, the pod choice, people's choice award, you know, get them a win. But really, submit, submit. You got 5 days. I'm counting it down as 5 days. Submit. A lot of stuff's going to be going on with them for the next month, so leave the good ones alone unless it's important. But go over, take the course, and get ready for it. If you can't submit this time, you know, be ready for the next. When is the next time they can submit if they miss this time?
Yeah, any time. I mean, the next quarter starts on the 1st of October. So you can submit any time. I'm just saying to get into volume 38.
Yes,
this is the end of that quarter for volume 38. Yeah. Then after that, they'll be starting to submit for volume 39.
Yes, and they might need some more good stories, so y'all better submit. Man, maybe
we always need Halloween. Good,
yeah, maybe a good Halloween story or something. Yeah, yep. Something scary, something interesting.
We definitely had those too.
Maybe the first Martian that ever went trick or treating. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just giving people ideas. I don't know.
But we gotta go. Been done already.
Yeah, it probably has been. We gotta go, people, because we're hard up against it tonight, and we do have a show following us after this one. Yes, the show is ending a little early at night because we just got other things going on in the network. Well, Space Belt Radio won't come on until midnight because we got another show following for an hour and a half, and then about hour 15 minutes, but. And then you can catch that Space Radio with Dave Doubts. Dave Doubts Scott. Jesus, Dave Scott. I don't know what I'm saying there. Dave Doubts Scott. Anyway, be sure and tune in and watch, people. I'm telling you, John and I are going to be the attention of it. We'll be just hot. I'm telling you, you watch too long, your damn computer might catch on fire. But on not teasing, but really, people, submit. And if you can't get in time, just submit. All right. And yep. And if you got questions, you go to the website. They got a blog. You can go in there. Just be respectful, or they will kick your butt out. Don't get into it with other people that might be there. That's just childish. You know, if you got a good enough story to submit, you shouldn't be that childish. So, and if you need help. You know, if you watch Hogwarts, help will be given when help is asked for. So, you know, do it. And no, again, don't ask me, ask them. Let's just be clear about this. Don't ask me about writing, ask them. But we got to go. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to United Public Radio and Science and Beyond. John and Emily Goodwin's one this night. They're going to be doing a lot of work in the next couple weeks. Be sure to tune in to the Writers of Futures Award and see who wins on that night. Good night, and stay tuned for the next insane person that's coming up.